Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 484 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is going to be a fun show. We're actually recording this show live as part of our Tuesday night live show. We have a special guest with us. But before we get to the special guest, I have Ed with me. Hey, Ed, what's happening, my friend?
How are you doing?
I'm good, buddy.
Good.
How far out before you back in the Walt Disney World area?
June, right after school. We drive right down to Florida. So I'm looking forward to it. So
not less than 60. You're within 60 days.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you're making dining reservations, that type of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. And as you guys join us, go ahead, let us know where you're from. Make sure that you can get your comments out here. So we've been planning. We're trying to get into the Space 220 and have had no luck at all. But hopes just thinking all about going to Yak and Yeti, so we might go there instead.
I'll give you my insider tip if you don't remember it.
Okay.
Go ahead and go to the Landry's restaurant website.
Oh, right. Get the membership and you'll jump right in
the Landry's car. Yeah, you get your priority seat and you don't even need a reservation. It costs $25 to get the card, but you get $25 credit on your first meal.
That's awesome.
So it's technically free. So yeah. For those of you listening to the audio podcast, if you hear us giving out some shout outs and stuff like that, it's because we are live. We're recording this live and we do have comments coming in. So, hey, Jody and Jamie, Nicole, David and Tina. Thank you guys for joining. Yeah, come on in.
And again, for tonight's show, who we have is a special guest. We have a good friend of ours, Chris. Chris was just down in Walt Disney World, so we're going to drill him for a trip report, see what kind of information we get out of him from what's going on down in the world.
And he just stayed at one of my bucket list places, the Poly. I've got to stay at quite a few different places over the years in Walt Disney World, but the Poly I have not, and it is one that I'm looking forward to eventually trying. So I'm interested to hear all the details of his stay.
We were just talking about that on show 483 because we got into the DeLorean and took a time travel trip to 1976. We on the podcast, we had a guide from 76. And considering that was the first time I went to Walt Disney World, I got to kind of relive what the attractions were, some of the food places. So perfect. We can jump right back to the Poly because that's where we stayed. If anybody's old enough to remember the Walt Disney shows, they had a picture of the Polynesian slide going into the pool at the beginning. That's all the hook we needed.
That's cool. Yeah. Welcome back. Well, that intro definitely seemed much longer than it normally does because I went ahead and prepared myself before I started rolling it. And had my had my comments that, you know, when I shared it out, prepared. So,
right.
I need to make a note and do that more often.
Yeah, that worked out well. And thank you, Brandy. I love seeing those pictures every time. Those were from some of our meetups, the majority of those pictures. So definitely something you guys can join us with next time.
Glad to hear this. Nicole, who's one of our brand new bloggers on the site, just did a trip to Disneyland. So she just did a blog post, a trip report, and her blog post. So stay tuned to the Disney Nerds Podcast.com and look up for Nicole's post about her trip to Disneyland.
Nice.
Hey, Lana, glad to see you again. 2 weeks in a row. I love it.
It's
glad
a record.
To see you back.
Nice.
We got John from Long Island. Brandy will be with us in November, so hopefully she can get a photo with the group, and we'll update that intro and get your picture in there.
We'll do the Tinder update.
I want to introduce our guest, Chris, and I'm going to bring him on. But while I'm introducing him, I'm going to also throw in the fact that, hey, Chris, how's it going? And Chris has been with us, been friends with Ed since college.
Yeah.
But Chris has also joined us for quite a couple of times, 2 or 3 years for the meetups, maybe even four.
I think it's three.
And has joined us for our Splitsville meetup, which is coming up November 9th. And then we have our Epcot Sampleathon on November 10th and our Scavenger Hunt on November 11th. And this year, it's the Disney Nerds Podcast 10th anniversary.
Looking forward to it.
You going to Chris?
You're coming down, right?
Yeah,
Chris is going to be there. Oh, yeah. The reservations are already booked.
Awesome. Yeah, he's locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Tina wants to know if you did that, your name change legally. Is it Edalorian now?
I did that for Womp Rat Radio, and actually it's just stayed there. I never changed it.
You never went back to the original.
But it works. No, it totally works. I'm still digging the Mandalorian.
For
May 4th, as everybody is. We're having a big May 4th day at school on Thursday, so all the teachers are going to be dressed in their Star Wars gear. All the kids are coming in dressed up in Star Wars. So we're all getting ready for it.
Are you going to wear that the whole day?
No.
No.
Not that comfortable.
My dedication only goes so far.
It usually will stay on while the kids come on off the buses and come into school.
Stop in the men's room.
Yeah. If you take it off, you're going to have to bathe in the living waters of Mandalore.
Right.
Yeah, I'll deal with that then.
Brandy wants to know what you teach.
Oh, I do STEM and also the IT for the school.
All right. So without further ado, Chris, just give us, before we get too deep into it, just give us like the highlights, like of just the trip, kind of when you went, where you stayed, and then we'll kind of go day by day and kind of dig in a little deeper.
Sure. So we just went down last week. We went from the 22nd through the 26th. Our youngest daughter is down there as part of the Disney College program. We thought we'd go on a visitor. She started in January, and she's there through August. And we're pretty sure she's going to extend. She really likes it a lot. She's not crazy about the job, but that's another issue altogether.
If it makes you feel better, I'm not necessarily crazy about a job either.
So we flew on Wednesday evening, which isn't something we usually do. Oh, thank you to Welcome Home Travel, by the way, for booking our entire trip for us.
There you go.
And thank you. A nice plug. I like that.
I
do.
So we got in that Wednesday evening. We picked up our youngest. We headed over to the Polynesian. We were going to have dinner at the Kona Cafe. Every once in a while, I'll try to surprise him with something and not tell him where we're going or the entire plan. So my oldest kid and my wife didn't know where we were staying until we pulled up to the Polynesian. So that was kind of cool and exciting.
Oh, nice.
Pulled up the front door, put our stuff in Bell Services. I parked the car, which is real nice. Went upstairs, ate. Room was ready, obviously, hours beforehand. That's all we did the first night. And then we went to Magic Kingdom on Sunday, Epcot on Monday, Hollywood Studios on Tuesday. And we headed out on Wednesday back home. Nice. So overall, it was a nice trip. And we had a really good time this time. Well, we have a really good time every time we go.
Well, sure. That's always great. You flew in, right?
Yes.
Getting from the airport to the hotel, how'd you do it?
Well, I recently started working with the Hertz clients at IBM. So I get a discount from Hertz.
Oh,
boom. That's a huge discount. So we rented a car this time because we thought we might have some luggage to bring home from Jillian. Because she went through some things that she didn't need anymore, and she filled up a suitcase for us. Mm-hmm. We were going to bring it back. Well, we flew JetBlue in a Terminal C. I don't know if y'all been to Terminal C yet, but it took us 20-25 minutes to get back to Terminal A and B to get the car because their rental car is not set up yet in Terminal C.
Gotcha.
And it was a hike. It was a really long walk. That's the only complaint I had about the airport. And for a brand new terminal, it really was very exciting. There was a Shake Shack in there. You know, not enough seating for everybody per usual at every gate. I wasn't all that impressed. And I thought it was for all just international flights. So I don't even know what JetBlue's doing in there.
Well, they cross.
Anyway, Yeah, so we rented a car. We got a minivan from Hertz and drove over to the Magic Kingdom. And if folks, for folks who don't know or think about renting a car, you could use Easy Pass now down in Florida, and it's accepted on all the tolls because none of the tolls have people in them anymore. And I was worried how I was going to pay it. So I checked it out online, and Easy Pass is like, just take your tag out of your car and bring it with you. Mm-hmm. So that worked out pretty good.
Awesome.
Nice. So you can pick up a rental car, I think, in Terminal A or B.
If you come into Terminal C, you got to go to Terminal B to pick up your car.
Gotcha.
But I'm positive they're eventually going to have rental cars available in Terminal C. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
we typically fly Southwest, which puts you in Terminal A. Mm-hmm. But it's always been a pain in the butt to do, you know, what was Magical Express and now is Mears, or because they're in Terminal B. So you got to go down to Terminal A, grab your luggage, come back up, cross over, go to Terminal B, and then go catch Magical Express. So if you're renting a car, it doesn't really matter because there's car rentals on either side.
Yeah, we did Magical Express, I think in November, we went down for the meetup. And it was the Mears Connect. I'm sorry, not Magical Express, but the Mears Connect. That was basically the same exact service.
Yeah, pretty much. Which Mears was running. I mean, Mears was the one who they contracted to run Magical Express. So
they were doing it anyway, right? Yeah.
Other than the video on the bus when you're traveling, it's pretty much the same service. I think it's fine. It's like $17 a person, I think, each way. My biggest thing is though, it's not efficient. If I was arriving late and I didn't have any plans that evening anyway, it doesn't really matter. But if I'm getting there and I still got time to get to a park or get to Disney Springs, to me, it's just worth it to just pay a little, not even really that much more if it's two people, and just do an Uber and get there quick where it gets, you know,
Disney time is money. You can't guarantee it's going to be the bus for you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or wait till it fills up or something.
And you might have three stops before your stop. And so,
right.
You know, instead of a 30-minute Uber, it could be an hour and a half bus ride.
Oh, yeah. No. If you can get a car, I'm all for cars. It's just they got out of control for a while, rental-wise, money-wise. Yeah. But
I think they're settling down now.
Yeah.
I think when I first looked without the discount, it was still $700 for a minivan.
Wow.
Well, for nights. Sure. Yeah. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Well, good. So now you're at the Poly and you're checking in. Where'd they put you?
I was telling Jimmy, it was a great room. You know, we just did standard view. I went like you, Ed. I went back in the 70s. Like my first trip was in 72 when I was 8.
Oh, nice.
And the first place we stayed was the Polynesian. Yeah. And I have a very emotional, strong connection to the Polynesian Hotel.
Sure.
I might get choked up now talking about it. And honestly, when we were checking in and, you know, Cassidy and Deanna didn't know we were staying. And then they found out that we were staying there. And I was like, I really felt good about being able to share that with them. Because they had never stayed there before. Cassidy had never been there when she was old enough to remember what was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the room was ready. I love the online check-in. We walked right up to the room. We were in Rarotonga, which is just as you're going in the Great Ceremonial House, it's just to the right. Our room was all the way at the end of the second floor, which I love because I prefer not to be near the elevator because I'm just concerned I might get noisy at night.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we had the end room, so there was nobody on the far side of us. We were right by the door leading outside, and that door was very close to the bus stop. So that was great, too. I mean, we only needed it the one day, but it was really very, very close to the bus stop. So I'd recommend staying. It was just a standard view room, Rarotonga, great building. Great building.
Chris, well, first of all, Chris, if you do cry, we'll pay you extra. the ratings will probably go up. But if you get emotional and cry, it's probably a good thing for us. Chris messaged me, texted me after he got back. He's like, "Hey man, did you have anything to do with this room I got?" I said, "Chris,
I did.
As your travel agent, I would love to take credit for that." But
no, you should just say, "Yeah, absolutely. I requested that room special for you."
I couldn't. I know, but then I'd be setting this unreal expectation for the next.
You were for everybody, right? Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I mean, that room was crap. You got me. What happened? You know, and impressions on the new Moana theming and all the rooms. I thought they were very nice. I'm still on the fence about the hardwood floors. If you get somebody upstairs who's kind of noisy, Like I've stayed in Pop where folks like throw those chairs around and it can be pretty noisy. But this was nice and quiet. You know, the rooms are pretty big. You know, I mean, compared to Pop, which we were at November, we were kind of on top of each other between the bed and the bureau and the TV. This had a lot more room in that area. Sure. Like I said, the theming was very nice. The colors were great. You know, and it had the thermostat that you had to override. So thankfully I was able to override it. I don't think anything chaps my ass more than that. Than the fact that they wanted, I mean, it was like $731 a night and I can't turn the air down.
Down past 72 degrees.
And then it's going to be like, you know, it's going to go off at like 3 o'clock in the morning because I don't have a Mylar balloon floating around. So I watched the video and I was able to override it. It just really, I think more than any of the other changes they made, that's the one that upsets me the most. But thank God you could override it. We've got it all the way down to 75 and it's staying on all night. I mean, if you want to save some money, have the motion sensor work during the day.
65.
You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. I got down to 65.
Sure.
Right. You said 75. I'm like, that's not that.
Oh, no. God, no. I can't. Right now, my window's open in my bedroom. I mean, we're from the Northeast. I can't sleep if it's not like 50 degrees in my bedroom.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to, if you go with the guys, if it's, you know, you're trying to save money, whatever, or the environment by not running the AC all day long, then have it go up to like 70 during the day when nobody's in the room.
Right.
I mean, you know, the most important thing to me at a Disney trip is my sleep. Because I'm up at 6 o'clock every morning, or if not earlier, to get out. And if I can't get a good night's sleep, then the whole day is shot.
Right. And you're right. Thursday, like 4 o'clock getting up when it's super hot in the room.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what? Why?
Right.
And I think it's even,
that's not right.
I think it's even worse in the moderate and value rooms because the doors open to the exterior. Mm-hmm. So those rooms like get really muggy. So when you first get into your room at one of the values or a moderate,
yeah.
They're muggy as hell. Like you got to get that air running and it needs to run for an hour just to pull the humidity out the air because it just gets so muggy. Right. It's not quite as bad in the deluxes because, you know, your door opens up. Well, other than like Saratoga and Old Key West, but most of the deluxes, your door opens into an interior hallway. So the air is at least still conditioned out there, not opening it up to the outdoors where it's humid as hell.
Right.
The bathroom was pretty nice. The only complaint I would have about the bathroom or issue was that the shower head was the exact same shower head system that's in like Pop Century.
It's like right here, isn't it?
Well, they got the, you know, the pseudo rain shower on the top, and then they've got a handheld one, which you can move up and down, but it's like a water saver thing. So it's coming out like a sandblaster. You know what I mean? And it's the same exact setup that they have in Pop Century. At least the Pop Century, I could turn both on. I could have the rain shower going and the handheld thing, which kind of softens it up a bit. But in the poly, I can only do one or the other.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, look, that's a small nitpicky thing. I only shower every once in a while. So I'm always too worried about that. It's only 90 degrees.
For a small fee, your travel agent will come with you and throw buckets of water on you.
Well, I had that balcony right there outside the door, you know, for the stairs going down to the bus. We could have done it there.
Well, there you go.
But, you know, the staff was we didn't have much interaction with the staff. The security guard who checked us in was great. You know, he was throwing alohas and mahalos out like crazy, like left and right.
Right.
And that was all nice.
Did you hit any of the places on property, like
Captain Cook's?
Yeah.
We did Kona Cafe for dinner. And that's another thing that's starting to get
me a little bit. Do they still have a limited menu?
The prices are getting, for food, are out of control. I mean, we went to Hollywood and Vine, and I'm not going to turn this into a complete bitch session, but we went to Hollywood and Vine. It was $240 for a buffet for the four of us, and we didn't have any drinks.
Wow, for a buffet. That's crazy.
I mean, that includes the tip. They throw the tip in automatically, 18%.
Right.
But that's a lot of dough for salmon on a buffet.
Sure.
We did have a good time, though. We stayed for like an hour and a half. So Kona was good. I'm sorry, Ed. You asked me if I had a problem with the menu or something.
Oh no. I was wondering if the Kona menu has gotten like, did they expand it again? Because they pulled it back for COVID and it kept it like a really small menu. It seems.
No, I think it's back. I don't know what it was before, but I'm assuming it's back to a full menu. You know, a lot of sushi choices, a lot of cook choices that were on there. We had sushi and it was really, really good.
Nice.
We did go to Captain Cook's. I'm trying to think what I had at Captain's. I don't remember my memory is shot, but I will tell you this: Captain Cook's is too small.
it's a little bitty place.
If I remember, they had
not a lot of room in there to pick up your food or anything. They got to expand that a little bit.
Well, sure, but the outside you can use too, as far as eating.
If you're Jimmy, I don't need outside.
The grilled cheese they have in Captain Cook's was awesome. last time I remember being there.
That's what I had. I didn't have the grilled cheese. I had a pulled pork. When you said grilled cheese, what I had popped into my head. Yep. I had the pulled pork sandwich, which was very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. And I'll tell you, you know, for how much I just complained about how expensive the food is, it's gotten a lot better in the past 10 years. I had a couple burgers that were just juicy and really, really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not the best burger I ever had, but for like a fast food burger, yeah. They were pretty
compared to theme park, other theme park food, right? Mm-hmm. I can tell you, in January, we did a split trip between Universal and Disney, and I got a burger in Universal, and it was pretty freaking terrible. I mean, it's what most people associate even with, like, when you say you're going to Disney, like most people would associate with just theme park food. And it lived up to theme park, lived down to theme park food.
Sure.
And I believe the last time I was at Captain Cook's was, it had to be 2019 when we rented the pontoon boat and we all went over to Captain Cook's after we had gotten back.
Right. Well, we were over, didn't we go to the bar next to it also?
Trader Sam's.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
There was a line for Trader Sam's.
I've been to Trader Sam's quite a few times. I don't think I've been. I don't think I've been with you, Ed.
Okay.
It was around lunchtime, and there was a line down that hallway past Captain Cook's, and the door.
You gotta wait till the line goes away. Once the line goes away, you can go inside and give them your phone number, mm-hmm. and then you go upstairs to Tambu and get a drink, and you wait for them to call you. And once they call you, you can go in.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
We saw the Pineapple and I at the Polynesian, which is now another place you can get. I think it's the only place outside of a park where you can get Dole Whip. Mm-hmm. Other than your supermarket freezer now, I guess.
You can get it now at Pop Century, I believe, as well.
Really?
Oh, can you? Where?
I believe in the cafeteria. I believe you can get it.
Nice.
I'll double check that, but I think you can. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think the last Dole Whip I've had came from there. We definitely went there and got some Dole Whips at the Pineapple Lanai not that long ago.
Yeah.
Right. Did you guys make it to the pool at all?
We did not, but I have been in that pool. And I've been down that original slide, and I like the original slide more. The volcano slide is too dark. I don't like stuff in the dark, man. It makes me nauseous. We could talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, which I had to go on, and it almost killed me.
One more question about the pool.
Pool's beautiful.
Still have the walkout with the sand or like the kind of?
Yes, that's what do they call it? Zero entry or something? It's kind of like a beach. Okay.
I know they redid it since I've been there.
Yeah. So. Cool. And now they have another pool, an Oasis pool. It's closer to that Rarotonga building, over to the right as you go through the main building.
I'll give a shout out to Melissa because she mentioned this to us before. Our co-host Melissa rented a cabana at Poly. And you don't have to be a guest there to rent a cabana. And I don't remember how much it was, but it was like 50 or 60 bucks, but it's like for 5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
And I think you can have like 8 or 10 people in it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it came with some.
Yeah, and it's like a great, I think they have some waters and stuff in there. It's like a great value. So we don't ever, probably need to, but we don't ever take the time to really enjoy that stuff at the resort.
We never have it on the go. That's why it's so rare that I stay at the Polynesian at a monorail resort or a deluxe resort because we're never there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough to justify spending that much money on a room that you're really rarely going to be there. So, I think one of the things me and Kim have done since we've been DVC is really trying to focus on spending a little more time at the resorts and trying to enjoy some of the amenities at the resorts because you're paying for all that stuff too.
When we used to go like the night, we would go like from a Friday or a Saturday to the following Sunday, like nine nights. We would take a day off in the middle and spend it at the pool at the hotel, but we don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But this trip though, we did kind of take it a little bit easier. We did sleep in, and we could get to that whenever you're ready. We did sleep in a little bit on our Epcot day and our Hollywood Studios day because of Genie Plus. So that was something different. But one thing I did notice this time. But I got corrected by somebody on TikTok because, I've been going for so friggin' long, I think I know everything. She said you could mobile order at Steakhouse 71. So I immediately said, no, you can't. And then I got corrected. Apparently, now some of the fancier restaurants are doing mobile order. Steakhouse 71, Kona Cafe, or at least two of them, where you can mobile order like a rainbow roll and go to the desk and pick it up. I was shocked. Mobile order
anything?
With Steakhouse 71, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's everything. Like I can't imagine going to Steakhouse 71 and getting a steak to go.
Right. And I get the sushi. Like you guys had that. You know, that's awesome to put on a platter because it's fresh. Take it back to the room, whatever. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the newest thing that I noticed.
The best thing that came out of the whole COVID, mobile ordering.
Oh my god! You know, I've been over to like Sunshine Terrace when it first came out, and there's like 8-10 people in line. And I'm like, and I see the mobile ordering sign. So I just punched it up, and in 2 minutes, I got my Dole Whip.
But right, while the people are still in line.
You literally skip everyone. It's amazing.
It really is great. It's a great service. I hope they don't find out how great it is and start charging more for it.
Did you get a press pot of coffee at Kona Cafe?
No, we did not. I'm not. My wife is the only coffee drinker in the house.
Oh, you're not. And I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but that is some really good coffee.
Yeah,
that's good to go with sushi, though. That's a tough mix.
Oh yeah. But sometimes people do it after dinner.
My wife had her coffee after dinner. She waited till after. Yeah. And the construction at the Polynesian. I think the last thing that Disney needs is another DVC property.
But they're gonna get it.
As a DVC member, I disagree.
These big ass building. Well, you know, this is the thing that I'm not crazy about this one. This one doesn't look that big. Unless it's only halfway done. The building itself is not that big. So small, in fact, that I don't know why they couldn't have done another bungalow or two.
Right.
Well, like, it doesn't look to me like it's large enough where they needed a 7 or 8 story building. You could have put up two bungalows at 3 or 4 stories and called it a day.
Right. The footprint is like another wing of the hotel. Yeah,
exactly.
Like right there.
And it just looks like a big, you know, thing sticking up around the lagoon, which I can't stand.
It's not a Bay Lake Tower. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Not crazy about that.
Well, I understand.
Bay Lake Tower, really? But
at least it sticks out so much is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And at least the Contemporary is a high rise already. You know,
I was about to say, Bay Lake Tower doesn't really bother me at all. To me, it fits right in with the landscape.
Yeah.
I guess if you're, you know, some type of traditionalist or something, but.
As you're coming around that turn on the ferry boat and you pass those trees and you see the whole Contemporary layout, that's the thing you see now. You don't see the Contemporary as much as you see Bay Lake Tower. Yeah, I mean, the park. I mean, that really just is the thing you focus on.
It's you know, in my head, it's just an iconic. It's such an iconic thing. There was the Polynesian and the Contemporary and the Magic Kingdom. That was it. And, you know, all these other things start to pop up. Now, the Grand Floridian is beautiful, and I like the way they've kept all the buildings the same. But, you know, you're driving along by the Swan and Dolphin, which I think are pretty unique looking hotels, and I like those. But that Swan Reserve could be a Hilton out on US 1 someplace. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. Right. You know, at least Grand Destino Tower is pretty and fits the theming, even though it's a high rise.
By the way,
but
Grand Destino Tower, hidden gem.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I've heard you say that before. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little more than a room at Coronado.
Yeah, but it's almost like a deluxe resort, though.
But not as much as a deluxe, and it's every bit of a deluxe resort.
Yeah,
I mean, it's every bit. When you go there, and I only went there because it was for the Guardians of the Galaxy media event, that's where Disney put us. Well, no, I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying I normally wouldn't spend that type of money to stay in a room, but
yeah,
it is it's every bit as nice as the deluxes. I mean, you're in the tower, you take an elevator down, and you're right in the lobby with the bar. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I think price-wise, I think Coronado is, and outside of Grand Destino Tower, I think it's the best value on property. Coronado is less than Caribbean since they put the Skyliner in. And even if you're in the outer buildings, you just have so many amenities there. You get the Three Bridges Bar. You got the places in the tower. You got so many things going on there that stay open till midnight. To me, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I had forgotten, you know, how nice it is to stay at the Polynesian. It's just, it makes you feel really special. And again, I don't want everybody to think this is something I do all the time. It's not. I've been very lucky to go to Disney a lot throughout my life, and this was just something special I wanted to do for the wife and kids, because, you know, the youngest is a cast member, so she didn't need a ticket, so I only needed 3 tickets. It was just for 4 nights.
Perfect.
But I tell you, it's you just feel so special being able to stay there. Did having the monorail, you know, be out front. It's just.
Did your youngest stay with you?
She did. We went over, picked her up, and she stayed the 4 nights with us. Nice. She had to work the first day till about 5, and she had to work the last day. It's at 7:30, but we were heading out anyway to the airport.
Right. How was the monorail?
I'm always torn by, you know, the price of the room. You know, I think about the price of the room, and I think to myself, wow, is this really isn't like a 5-star resort. And then I think to myself, you know, I don't think I'm paying for a 5-star resort. What I'm paying for is the fact I got a monorail out in front of my building. So,
or the boats. Well,
I got to temper myself a little bit. Like, I keep thinking that, you know, this is supposed to be the greatest room on the planet, but really it's more for the location and the service.
First of all, I don't think the room may be 5-star resort, but I will tell you the resort itself, though, is probably higher than a 5-star resort. Yeah, I mean, the lobby beautiful. Of the Polynesian and the, yeah, that's it. So the room itself probably is subpar on a price level that high, but I think the resort makes up for that.
I can tell you.
And that's what he's saying.
Yep. Years ago, it was 2020, right before Disney reopened. It feels like forever ago, by the way. True. Universal was just opening it back up. And we went to Universal. We had plans to go to Disney, but Disney wasn't open yet. They didn't open until July, from COVID. So we still went to Universal, and we got a travel agent discount and stayed at the Royal Pacific, which would, you know, kind of loosely you could connect to Polynesian. I mean, it's kind of in that Pacific Island type of theme. Nowhere near. The rooms were nice and the place was very nice, but I'm thinking to myself, this ain't Poly. It's not even close to Poly. So, I mean,
I will say this for Universal though, their value rooms,
incredible.
I mean, I haven't stayed, but they look awesome. Cabana Bay and the two surf resorts, the theming looks amazing to me.
Yeah, no, we just stayed in January. We stayed at Cabana Bay before. We stayed a couple nights at Cabana Bay. And it's, you know, most of the amenities, I would say maybe somewhere in between a Pop Century and a Coronado. So somewhere in between there, I would guess. But, you know, Cabana is not technically, Cabana is their value plus. So the surf sides are their value, surf side, surf side and dock side.
They had a real busy lobby area. That was kind of a real mess at times because they had everything in the lobby at the Cabana Bay. That was the only downside, I thought, to the place. Everything else was really exceptional, though.
Yeah. There's a bowling alley. There's a little bowling alley there. There's all kind of stuff going on there. And it's very nice. And interesting enough, it's considered like a value plus, but they use indoor corridors, which I really like, as opposed to the motel style exit outside.
Yeah, you know, I'm used to it.
Yeah. I think it makes it feel a little nicer when you take the elevator and you're in an interior hallway that's going to your room.
Oh, sure, it's nicer, but not necessary.
Yeah, no, not necessary.
Let's.
I don't know if there will be another monorail stop at the Polynesian. No, I'm going to say no, absolutely not. There's not going to be another monorail stop, which I was going to bring up too. All these new DVZ properties are kind of starting to tax the monorail system. You know, you put more people in there than that system was intended to transport.
Good point. Sure. Well, what's cool about the Bay Lake properties is you have the boats. When we stayed at the Poly Floridian, you got the routine of you took the boat to the Magic Kingdom and the monorail back, or you took the monorail to the park and the boat back because you didn't wait for the other like stops and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a monorail guy.
My thing is, if you're going to stay,
did it stop at all? Because I tell you what, the last couple of times on the monorail, it's been a real experience as far as I got stuck on it for like 20 minutes, a half hour at one point.
Knock on wood, it was reliable this time.
Yeah, awesome.
If you stay in that Bay Lake Tower, you're not taking the monorail to go to Magic. The only way you're taking the monorail is to go to Epcot. If you're going to Magic Kingdom, you're going to walk downstairs and walk to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's really close. Yeah,
well, sure. If you're at temporary resorts, yeah, definitely.
Bay Lake Tower. Bay Lake Tower is even closer.
Grand Floridian, they have the new pathway that goes to the Magic Kingdom too. I heard it's recently been closed because they're doing construction over there, but if you want to take the walk, you can go. Although I love taking the boats. I really did, because once in a while you got a boat by yourself with the pilot and you hung out and you got to talk and find out stuff and things like that. And
I think it's also I think it's also cool when you get one of the boats, and they're not all the same, but sometimes you get one of those like really nice wooden boat, like the,
yeah,
really,
the little pirate boat. Yeah.
Sure, they're like really cool. That, yeah, yeah. Those are amazing. I
heard that the monorail riding in the front might come back.
We were talking about that, and I would love it. That was just always one of the highlights of my trip. We would always try to get that for the kids when we went.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool.
And I think it's time. I'm going to go on record. I think it's time to bring back monorails purple and pink. I understand it was a tragic thing, but it, you know, it was a lot. I think we should bring them back, put the guy's name on one of them and bring them back, because monorail peach is not doing it for me. And I'll tell you, those little cutouts they got on the side with the paint, this is the worst thing they ever did. Just give me that solid stripe of color down the side. That's all I need.
There you go.
But anyway,
very cool.
Yeah, that whole thing needs to be
So what was your first park?
Oh, we did Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
We had a really good experience. We rope dropped, and it's great. You know, once your kids get older, you know, they're more accepting to that kind of stuff, and they're ready to go.
They get themselves up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody was ready to go. We hopped on a monorail. It was, you know, the resort wasn't crowded at the monorail stop. The monorail wasn't crowded. We got right to the front of the turnstiles almost. I don't think they do the show on the train anymore at opening. So, like, Mickey and his friends don't come in on the train to welcome him to the park.
Oh, what a shame now the train's back to not have that.
Well, maybe they will eventually, because the train just kind of came back, right?
And you
so
know
we went over there on purpose to just do that, and it wasn't Jillian wanted to see that, and it didn't happen.
Was there a show at all?
Yeah, up at the Magic Kingdom, like at 8:55, there was at the Magic Kingdom.
So after they let her in,
there was one at 8:55.
After they let her
in. Oh. At the castle.
Everybody's down either waiting to get to Tomorrowland or getting to Fantasyland, so they'll do the show there.
Not the same. Not the same. So, I want to go to the train station. Yeah.
That's much more special. I don't like that, you know, you got to check in up front, and then you've got to check in again at the Magic Kingdom. They herd you all around to the right-hand side for the early morning stuff and make you check in a second time, which is kind of a pain in the ass. I also don't like that, you know, only half the park is open. You could only go to Tomorrowland or Fantasyland, Adventureland, and Frontierland are all closed. Well, so we had to check in twice.
No, no, wait. Back up a second. What do you mean by closed? You mean just the entrances are closed?
No, they're not early. They're not open for early park entry.
Fair enough.
So if Magic Kingdom is opening at 9 and the hotel guests get to go on 8:30, you can only go to Tomorrowland and find Fantasyland. That's it.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but then also just the ability to hit those two lands and knock some stuff out. And get that head start in your day.
I mean, that's what we do it for. But I like to.
Here's my problem with Magic Kingdom is I would rope drop to get on either Space Mountain or to Dwarfs. And I don't want to go on Dwarfs as much anymore. I could care less. So for me to rope drop and not go to Tron because it's virtual, I'm not really up to rope dropping Magic Kingdom anymore, which is such against my whole like way.
Right. And we could get into that in a minute, because we did not rope drop on Monday or Tuesday, which was a very strange experience for me, not getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
So we made it across the bridge by Cosmic Rays. We were in the first like five rows of people at like 8:15, eight o'clock. We had to stand there for about a half an hour before they dropped the rope.
Right.
And we were on and off seven dwarves in like 12 minutes.
Oh, that's great. Beautiful. And it worked. So the worst is being in that line and getting to there and having it being closed.
Yeah.
Does that screw up your pride?
I got to tell you.
Or even worse than that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Even worse than that, hopping in that line, thinking you're getting there early and realizing it's a 35, 40 minute wait, which is so short for that ride. But that ride is so hidden.
Yeah.
The line for that ride is so hidden. Sometimes you hop in thinking you're going to get on quick, and there's still a line. There's still a bunch of people ahead of you.
Sure.
We were with some rookies behind us, and they were like, you know, what's going on? About how long will this will take? I'm like, you did good. This is going to be like 10 minutes. You did good. You're going to be fine.
Nice.
What the hell was I going to say?
Well,
so that was great.
You were off that and then what'd you do? I think you were getting onto the next ride. 15 minutes.
We had gotten up to do Genie Plus, and I think I got one for Peter Pan. I don't remember what time that was at. I don't know if you guys use the Genie Plus. I don't think you guys are fans of it, but I find I'm a guy who will pay for a little bit of convenience, and I always like the Fast Pass. Now, I don't think I'm ever going to pay for an individual Lightning Lane, because I think to charge me another $100 for four people to go on one ride, that's never going to happen.
Right.
But I find the Genie Plus really handy, because I can get on a lot of like the B-level rides, which may be 20 minutes, half hour, 40, you know, whatever it is, posted in like 5 minutes. Like I, if I've got an, you know, I use a fast pass for Lightning Lane. And if it's, let's say it's 11:30, I could get on like Haunted Mansion at 11:45 with like no wait, you know, or I could hop on Buzz Lightyear like in 15 minutes or half an hour. The wait's not that bad with the trade-off. So I could get on a lot of those rides without having waited any line at all. Tomorrowland Speedway, you know, all that kind of stuff. You just go on and get your thing and you 20-minute wait. Nah, you just go right to the front.
Right.
I've never used it. My thing has always been, though, if you're going to use it, I think Magic Kingdom may be the only place that it really has value, because Magic Kingdom is the only one that has enough attractions that you can really get the use out of it. Mm-hmm. It's tough for me to believe that in Epcot it's going to be a value, because I mean, how many attractions can you use it for?
And Hollywood Studios without Rock and Roller Coaster right now is a tough one to say that it might be worthwhile there.
Yeah, I think it's Magic Kingdom, then it's Hollywood Studios. Yeah, if everything's up, and then I don't know if you even need it for the other two parks.
Yeah, I mean, like Epcot, what are you going to use Genie Plus for? You can't use it for Guardians.
Ratatouille is really the only
Soarin'. Most of the time now, you can get on Soarin' fairly quick.
From like 4 o'clock on, is not that bad. Soarin'
at all. Yeah, I'm really surprised. Test Track, which has single rider, so
sure.
Unless you really, really need to ride Frozen.
Some families need to get to Frozen.
My 21-year-old goes on it and cries every time she goes on it. We got to do that every trip.
I think it's a good ride.
Yeah.
It's just my point is there's just not enough of those for me to justify paying Genie Plus.
Sure. $20 per person per day, so it's $100 extra.
You know? Right. That's why I'm justifying the Lightning Lane purchases, though, because me going to Epcot to rope drop just to get on the Guardians, you can't do that. So if you miss getting your virtual line, I'm going to buy it. Because I'm going to Epcot one day. The people I'm with have never been to Epcot. They're going to be on. This is the only time they get to be on the ride.
Yeah,
I'm going to buy the Lightning Lane.
Even if I get my virtual queue, may still buy it to ride it again. But to Chris's point, I am not paying for a family of four.
Well, sure. That's the big decision. Yeah. Right? And I'm not.
Yeah. So it's correct. So you know, for me, I'm paying for me and Kevin.
And if it's if you know, if I'm with you guys,
you're doing,
you know, you're probably, it's you're meet up or something, and it's just that I got to just pay for myself.
You're paying 15 to 17 bucks.
Right. Cause like, even like Rise of Resistance now is getting like, you know, you can't get there early enough to get on it without it being
that is the problem with the early entries, because now early entries are either 7:30 or 8:30, depending on the park. I think Animal Kingdom 7:30. That's ridiculous, because you got to get to the park at 7 to get in line to get inside to get to the point where you can be in the front.
Right.
So you're up. You're like you said it earlier. You're up at 6 o'clock. You're up at 6 o'clock. So this trip coming up, we're going to try to use a couple late entries into the park and let the lightning roll the way.
On Monday, we kind of slept in on Monday. You know, we knew it was going to rain, but we went in a little bit late. Again, I got up early.
And Monday was which part?
Epcot. Mm-hmm. We did do the Genie Plus for it, because I knew we were going to sleep in a little bit. I thought, let's just try it and see. You know, we got in a lot of stuff. Even though it rained, it was nice just to be able to plug it in and go and do your thing. But I think that's one of the benefits of the Genie Plus is being able to, you know, you still got to get up to get that first ride.
Sure, you can be up 7. Somebody does anyway.
Excuse me. But so that could be one person. The whole family doesn't have to do that.
Right.
Sure. Once you get that stuff going, you can just start racking them all up and using them throughout the day and not have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sure. I'm assuming you got the virtual queue line too, because you mentioned how you had a fun time on Guardians.
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
If I had not brought a Ziploc bag with me on the ride, I would have been in big trouble.
Really? That much? Wow.
So back to the virtual queue. The virtual queue was a piece of cake, 7 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, 6:58. I got up, refreshing, got it right away. This is my only complaint. They told us it was going to be like 245 minutes.
Oh,
which is 4 hours, 4+ hours, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, we don't need to go till 11 o'clock.
Right.
So I let the kids sleep in a little bit. I laid back down for a little bit. Kids, they're grown-ups. And then we get an announcement that our boarding group is starting to board at 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Which is great if you're there, but that's 2 hours early and they only give you an hour to get there.
But they got to be able to.
I mean, I kind of get. No, and I shouldn't be complaining about having it be ready so early, but we weren't ready. So then we had to go in and at 1 o'clock, and I got it again at 1 o'clock.
Oh, good. Oh, really?
I don't know where we were.
I'm going to ruin your day.
Flicking away, and we got in the virtual queue, and we went that night. I had heard from some guy online that the motion sickness wasn't up. You know, he gets motion sick all the time. I get air sick, car sick, seasick. He said it wasn't that bad. I had my C bands. I took some Dramamine. You know, I thought I'd give it a try. I had my Ziploc bag. Man, I'll tell you what. I should show you. I'll show you guys the picture of me, the photo pass shot. I'm having the best time for the first 4 seconds of the ride. I'm like, woo! And that's it. And I even got my song. I wanted to hear September, and I got September. And I'll tell you, man, we got to that first turn, and that was it. I closed my eyes. I opened them twice. I saw the moon twice, and that was pretty much it. I missed the whole rest of the ride.
Have you ridden Mission Space?
I have, but I ride the side that you get the purse with. I ride the orange side. I don't ride the green side.
The legitimate first thing they tell you is, look, if you start to get motion sick, don't close your eyes because it's going to make it worse.
Right. And they tell you to eat before you go.
I was hanging out for dear life, my friend. I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do. And then we get off the ride and I'm like, I got to sit down. And then thankfully they got a bench there. And my kids were so sweet. They're like, Dad, we'll stay in front of you so nobody can see you. And I didn't actually throw up. I managed to keep it together. But yeah, that was rough for me. But everybody else loved it. Deanna loved it. The two girls loved it. And they had a great time.
Did you go on the second time?
Did I go on the second time? No. Yeah. Hell no. Okay, I'm never going on it again.
Just want to make sure. So, never again. Wow.
Two things.
Scopolamine. Yeah.
Two things. If you get the virtual queue in the morning, you can go any point in time after you're called back that day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So no matter how much you skip your group, you're still good?
Yeah. Yeah, we went. Similar thing happened to us. They told us, you know, when we got the group, it said it was like 4 hours. So we went back to sleep.
And I can imagine that sob story working.
We woke up. They didn't even listen to the story. So look, we're a little late for our group because no worries. Go right ahead.
Good.
So it's fine. Awesome. Second thing is we need to get you, because my wife gets motion sick forever. She can't ride Star Tours. She can't ride. Yeah. We need to get you a relief band. And they're about $100.
Yeah.
And you wear it on your wrist with a little gel and it sends an electric pulse.
Yeah.
And it hits some type of nerve. And we went on a cruise. My wife put that on, did not get motion sick, not one time on a cruise. And we ended up having like some fairly rough weather cruise. Like it started to get me, and I don't get seasick. I've been on boats my whole life. I don't really get that, but it was rough enough that I started to get just not queasy, but I started to feel it a little bit.
Yeah,
and
let me try her
band done and she was fine. So like anytime we're gonna ride, when we went on Guardians, she didn't know how it would be, but she had heard stories, so she put that on before we went on, no issues.
Really?
Got bad news, though. So, I'm sure it's still different for everybody. It's one of those things.
I had my Guardian experience. I don't need to try that again.
And the relief
for the next big green ride to come up that might make me sick, and I'll try it. Maybe maybe Flight of Passage. We'll try it on Flight of Passage.
Have you been on that relief?
No, not yet.
Relief? Oh, much less than.
Yeah, I've heard much less. Like, so I would say,
there's probably only one part.
Yeah,
but it's still great. No, it's worth it. That one, one time we're gonna do that.
That one, you definitely, if you start to feel motion sick, could close your eyes because you're not actually moving really. You're moving very gently.
Yeah,
up down maybe, but you're not on a. It's not like.
Well, you're going through the front base, kind of moving around. So.
Huh.
When you're going through the gun bay and you have the droids driving you around, you're kind of really doing some turns. So
I thought we were talking about Flight of Passage.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Rise.
Yeah, and that's the odd thing, right? Rise, I was fine on.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, the first time I went, I didn't look at any of the screens, like on the transport on the way up. or during the drop, that final part. But I went on subsequent to that and was able to get through the whole thing. And oddly enough, the C-bands work on Remy. Like when we did that in Paris, I only made it through like the first half of the ride and had to stop. But I wore them in Epcot, and I was great through the whole ride, and I really enjoyed it.
Maybe so it's weird. Some Guardians work
for some things and not for others. But Guardians is a little bit crazy. That's a little excessive.
Right.
Yeah, in the relief man, I was going to say it also has different intensities. So there's different settings on it. So if you start to get nauseous,
I got visions of going all the as I'm sitting there on the
it's
ride.
It's not quite that bad.
It distracts you from getting sick.
Well, you're supposed to turn it up where you feel the tingle in your fingers when it hits. But, I tell you, it works. It works 100%.
I would try it. I mean, I won't try it again for Guardians because I don't.
You know what? Test.
I don't need to do that. But if they come out with some other great, you know, simulator ride, that's the, you know, like Rise of Resistance, I was worried about.
Did you get on Tron?
The kids didn't want to go on it.
Okay.
Jillian's been on it. She was like, it's about a minute long. She's like, I don't care if we go on it or not. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to risk it and get sick. I'd rather save that for Guardians to see how I do.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've heard of anybody really getting sick on Tron. I mean, it's just a roller coaster. It's got a quick launch, but it's a roller coaster.
So
I can't do Space Mountain anymore because it's in the dark.
Space Mountain's tough. Really? Space Mountain. Yeah.
You gotta get the hat with the lights on it.
Yeah, dude. I used to go on that. My brother and I would go on that like 6-7 times at the end of the night in a row.
Right.
And finally at the last ride, we'd be like a little bit loopy, but yeah, I can't do that stuff anymore all the time.
At the media event for Guardians, I rode that at least 5 times in a couple hours.
Damn. No, I couldn't. Mm-mm.
Me and John Yaglensky from Intercot. Now, John, after about the fifth time, maybe it was the fourth time, he's like, yeah, I think I'm gonna need a break.
Well, maybe in like 10 years, Jimmy. That's you in 10 years from now.
No, that's not. No, no, no. I'm good. Don't manifest that upon me.
I don't know, man. You know, I used to go on. I've been on the Hulk and Kraken and all that. I used to go on all those big roller coasters. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I just did the Hulk.
We took my dad on the Kraken a few years back, and then we found out he had a heart problem.
Wow. Well, that's the way to find out.
You haven't lived until you've been on the Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
My cousin's been on it, and it literally scared me, dude.
It scared me. It was amazing, but it was scary because you're upside down. But, you know, most coasters, you go upside down, but only for a second. This one, you hang it upside down above water, like for a minute. And there's no shoulder restraints.
Yeah.
It's strapped over your waist. And I'm thinking, I got a big gut and a little butt. Like, I feel like I could slide out of this thing, right? Because it's not very, you know, it's not holding anything. So.
Tina, that's broken my record. I've never been on it 11 times in a row, but we have done 5 or 6 at late night.
Yeah.
Right when they put up that 90-minute wait time, that's when you go. Yeah. You know, 10 minutes before they're going to close, and they're telling it's 90 minutes long. It's like, nope.
Mission Breakout, I would do in a heartbeat that many times.
Tower
Terror Cruising over there.
Yeah, that's not really a motion sick ride. That's really amazing.
Well, the elevator, that's motion sick, I got to think, for some people.
I could ride Small World all day. Peter Pan, Small World,
that would kill Lisa.
You know?
Yeah, I know, right? But that's not physical; that's mental.
Right. Yeah.
What was I thinking? The teacup ride. That is the only ride I can't ride anymore.
You know, and oddly enough,
ride that's weird.
I'll go on that with my youngest, who says she's never going to spin it, and then we end up spinning the heck out of it. I mean, not like breaking our neck spinning it, but I don't get sick on that, which is the obvious thing.
No, that's
we did the version of that at me and my niece. Haley did the version of that at Universal, which is Marvel something, but it's right next to the Hulk. I don't know what it's called, but it's a similar thing.
Cool. So Hollywood Studios was your other park. How was that?
Yeah. Oh, and it ended up raining all evening in Epcot.
Did you have umbrellas?
Yeah, but it was just pouring. The problem with it is you could keep half most of yourself dry, but our feet were soaking wet.
Right. Yeah, that happens.
So we just headed back early that day, and the last day again we slept in again, got up to do Slinky Dog on Genie Plus for the girls, and slept in a bit, headed over, and I just set up stuff with Genie Plus all day long. You know, I would book something, ride it, book something else, ride it, book something else. Right. It was a nice day. It was another good day. But it's nice to know that you have options other than having to get up at 6 o'clock
right.
to run in and use Genie Plus to do some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Although, like you said earlier, it's going to be weird not getting to the park right away. Or
I'm telling you, man. Around. It's really a tough adjustment because you and I are the same. I like to get there at park opening because I feel like I can get between like 9 and 11, I can get almost all my stuff done.
Everything you need to do. Sure.
See, and I'm so the opposite.
Jimmy's like that for one day. He's like that. He promises the entire trip, but one day he could do that.
That day. But on the other hand, I'm the opposite though, because then me and Kim are at Splitsville till midnight. You know,
sure.
I mean,
we're even later than that. Sure. But then again, I'm still at Disney World for the kid reason. I'm still there to do the rides. So that's why I've got, you know, we're getting up early for that. So I give up the bar time.
I think this is the first trip. Like we've always said that, you know, I wanted to get to a place where we've been enough times where we don't have to get up and go on everything every morning. And that's never happened. I think this was the first time that me and the kids and Deanna felt like, you know what, that was enough for today. We did what we wanted to do. You know, we didn't see Beauty and the Beast, but that's okay. Nice. We'd seen that before. And we got the things done we wanted to do. It was a nice, relaxing day. We didn't feel rushed. We had a nice dinner at Hollywood and Vine at the end of the night for like an hour and a half.
Right.
And then I was going home.
You've had a good year going to Disney, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
So what happens is you start building up that you've been on the rides you got to get on. That rush to get onto them, you have to get onto them, is gone. Now you're to the point of touring. This is what touring is about, and enjoying yourself and doing all the good stuff that's around the attraction.
Yeah. And Jillian's getting to do a lot of that. You know, she'll just go for the day and just walk around. You know, she's been looking at all the topiaries. She's been looking at like the weather vanes in the Magic Kingdom on all the rides. And she's just been looking up all the stuff that we never get to look at.
That is.
Because we're just rushing from one ride to another.
I have a post on weather vanes. You never know, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely where, like, you know, Kim and I are, and then we do different things. And, you know, that's when you start doing stuff like taking tours and the backstage tours and doing those type of things. Cause you know, it's interesting because it's like, it seems like some of it has become old hat, but then you start digging deeper into the stuff and it becomes even more interesting because it's not the superficial stuff that everybody else said travels there once every 2 or 3 years is going for. You're going for different reasons. Yeah. And you're looking at that point, you start looking at those people and going, man, you're really missing it. You know, you're running to go do this and this attraction and you're missing this on the way getting there.
It's like all that backstory stuff that Ed knows, you know what I mean? Like there's a whole story behind Disney Springs and how it's there and how it became. And I mean, like Jock Linzer's hangar bar and all that stuff. And it's just, it's just so, they've gone to so much trouble to make it.
Sure.
Put so much story behind it. Like it actually has been there forever, you know, and like Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach, all that stuff.
And such a small percentage of people.
Yeah. Even know any of that.
Take the time to know the story. Well, so
and that's the biggest thing about the scavenger hunts is because with the scavenger hunts, I can bring those stories out for people that do those hunts, and they'll might not win the hunt. They might come in second, third, whatever, but they're going to learn something. And I think that's the coolest part about it. If they showed up to our meet, then they're definitely going to be people who are receptive to learning something about Disney World.
Yeah, that last one was great. The
scavenger hunt. Oh, good. Oh, awesome. Glad you liked
it. I did, but it was awesome.
We're doing Epcot next year, so
cool.
Yeah. World Showcase. It's the. I think it's the west side because you look at Mexico and you can see the shuttle coming up over Mexico. So I figured that's the east coast.
No, it's the west. It's upside down.
Okay.
So when you walk into
Epcot, I look at a map. I'll say okay till I look at a map.
When you walk into Epcot, it's the only one that's actually like flipped. So when you walk into the main entrance of Epcot, you're walking south.
Yeah, you're heading south. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I know I vouch for that because I got it on Microsoft Flight Simulator and I fly over it all the time. I've landed on Icon A5 in the lagoon.
So if you were walking north, Mexico would be the west side, but you're actually flipped.
Okay.
You're inverted, man.
You're inverted. Because I was inverted.
That's right. Oh, that's good. I like it.
Okay, so before we finish up, was there anything that majorly stuck out with this trip? Something that really happened that was really cool? Something you haven't done before? Something
other than the room that your favorite travel agent was able to secure for you over at the Bali room?
I mean, for me, that was the big thing for me. It was, you know, past couple of trips, I have not felt very emotional traveling underneath the arches. It was the same again this time. Thank you, Bob Chapek. He's ruined some of that for me. But he's gone now. So it's starting to come back. And it started to come back when they got rid of overnight parking fees. So that was great.
Right. That was the best thing.
But I'm telling you, man, when we pulled into the Polynesian and my wife and my oldest had no idea we were staying there. And then, you know, the guard asked me what I was there for, and I said, we're checking in. And I swear to God, I almost got a little weepy.
So that was really the highlight. Are you about to get emotional?
Almost.
Because our ratings will go up. If you get,
I got to tell you, man, ask Ed. I'm not an emotional guy.
No. I'll have Ed double your appearance fee for tonight if you get emotional. Because it's going to cause our ratings to go up.
All right, man. We should have me on more often.
There you go.
This was a lot of fun. Seriously, I was a little bit, you know, I got social disorders. I'm in therapy. I admit it. Everybody should get their mental health checked. I was really a little anxious about this, but I just sat down 5 minutes before that. I said, you know what? It's going to be a conversation between three friends.
Right.
That's all that
is. And that's, we're just going to talk about the last trip. And this was a great time. And I really appreciate you having me on. And I appreciate the work that you and Lisa, you guys and Lisa and Morgan do and Charlotte and everybody else.
You got to see.
I can't wait for November. I'm looking forward to it. I'm counting down the days. If I didn't have a trip coming up in July, I'd be really super anxious. But you know,
we're going to see you in July.
Sure, yeah, we're all going back in July. We got to get together in July.
Ed and I'll see you in July.
Absolutely, we got to do something.
It's interesting because you get to see how the sausage is made a little bit. You get to head a little behind the scenes. You get
right before.
You get a little pre-show chat
and peek about how it all works.
Yeah.
Very how to cool. hook up, how to get my, how to unmute myself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. By we've had that before.
By the way, it's not that impressive on how it all works. It's
no, anybody can do it.
I think the production value is very good on the show.
Well,
I'm sorry.
We appreciate that.
Definitely the podcast.
Oh, I forgot to thank the sound engineer, the techs, the lighting, the camera guys. Thanks everybody.
You're welcome.
You all work really hard to put the show on. I appreciate
it. Background artist.
You're welcome.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you coming on and telling us a story. We'll definitely have to have you back on after the July, if not before, but after the July trip when we get to meet up. Maybe we can go do
We'll broadcast from the park. Know.
We'll do a broadcast from the park or something. Go grab a drink or some food somewhere. Try something different together for the first time. We'll figure something out. The three of us, including plus my wife, all got to do Space 220 together.
That's right.
Yeah,
that was really fun.
Amazing, right?
And I can't get a reservation for it at all. I was trying 60 days out right after midnight, and I could not get it. I don't know how anybody does then. But there's people there all the time. So,
yeah.
But it was fun. It was a good place. I told my daughter that the good substitute is going to be the coral reef. It's just like the other.
We thought about doing coral reef. We almost ate there, but the girls couldn't decide on the food. They weren't.
Not a big menu.
Yeah, I mean, they could have found something that they would have eaten, but not that they would have loved.
Right.
It's delicious. Yeah.
And it's not worth going. You're right.
Ed, my advice to you is that between now and then, you cannot get a reservation of Space 220. Go there fairly early and see if you can get a spot at the bar, because they do a walk. They don't reserve spots at the bar. It's first come, first serve.
Okay, I was wondering about that, because Hope was telling me about the lounge and the same menu and everything like that. So
yeah, and they don't do any reservations there. So it's first come, first serve.
Do Space 220.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Just go straight there. You could take, while you're waiting in line, you could take turns riding Mission Space.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Oh, there's Carrie right there.
Not that bad.
The green side's not that bad. I could just about get through the green side.
Right.
And that's, I like the orange.
The green side is so awesome that it's its own adventure now.
It is.
It's not repeating the other one, just weaker. It makes you feel a lot better that you're going on the green side.
Because you're seeing something different. Actually, I've only done the green side once.
It's great.
And
it's
really was with you, trip. Ed.
Yeah, yeah. No, and
it's, me and you did it together, right? And that was right when they changed it to the trip around Earth or whatever.
And that's why you had to do it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't done it, please try it next time. And it's always the shorter line too, if there's ever a line.
Yeah, my brother's like 6'3", 250, and he went on the orange side when it first opened. And he does not get motion sick at all, and said it took him about 8 hours for him to feel normal again after that. Yeah. And supposedly an actual NASA astronaut went on it and said that's the closest you can get to actually going into space without actually getting your ass on a shuttle. So cool. You guys can have that. I'll go.
But it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. The research that they did and the way it was all done. It's a cool story. The whole thing's great.
I know we want to run, but the other cool thing that I like to do sometimes is when you're getting off a ride to look at the structure. Sure. Like the structure on Mission Space, the centrifuge is amazing. And like structure for like Soarin' is just massive. So some of that stuff's incredible if you get a look at it on your way out of the ride.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, if you want to look at a ride, next time you get on, and I don't know if you go on this ride, but if you get on the Pandora ride, the Flight of Passage, mm-hmm. You have to turn around while everything's going on and you're flying around the planet. Yeah. If you turn around, that wall behind you becomes a kaleidoscope of movement. It is the craziest thing where all your stuff is stored. It gets covered up as the ride moves around. And that whole wall just like almost gyrates. It's crazy.
Well, the wall's not moving.
Well, because everything in front of it's going.
You're moving, and the wall the wall's just it's just so. It's interesting.
It's definitely. And the coolest thing is when you look left or right, you could see all the different levels. And everybody else riding with you, so that's cool.
Yeah, we're gonna do Animal Kingdom in July, so I think I'm gonna try Flight of Passage in July.
Yeah, good. No, it's definitely worth it.
I would say
for the one very, time very, we had to carry my sister-in-law off, so
yeah,
there's that.
I would say there's very little chance that you'll get motion sick. I would say there's very little chance that you get motion sick on Flight of Passage. Do you get motion sick on Soarin'?
So you'll sit next to me then?
Yeah, I'll hold your hand.
he'll hold the Ziploc bag.
I do not get sick on Soarin'. I'm fine, but I did have to send we went to California when it opened out there. I sent my 3-year-old and my wife on it first. I swear to God. And then Deanna got off. She was like, oh no, it moves a little bit, but it's not bad. And I loved it. I've loved it since then.
Similar.
Yeah, similar. Soarin', you go up and come down.
I think Flight of Passage is similar. Maybe more movement than Soarin', because there's parts that you're on the back of a Banshee, so there's, but it's mostly small capitulations and dives up and down. It's very gentle, and I don't think it's anything. I don't think Kim has any issues on that, and she gets motion sick. Like Kim cannot ride Star Tours.
Oh no! That was my first one. It was when it was Body Wars.
All right,
dude. I went on my brother and my brother's Body Wars. And my brother said he looked over at me, and I had my hands were white knuckled to the sides of the seat, and I was looking at the floor, and I was sheet white when I got off.
You bring up a great point. Why would they not be able to offer a vehicle that does not move on Star Tours?
They do. It's called AMC Theaters.
No, but I'm
saying it's like the Tron. It's called recliner. It's at home.
You can sit in front of your television and watch it. It's just a movie
You can't see any of those anywhere other than in there.
But it's true. That's true, though, right? If you can't take that kind of ride, you can't experience it in any way at all.
Never, right? You can see some bad video once in a while, but you won't see the different, the different beginning, middle, and end type scenes.
I mean, not to get into the whole thing with Tron, but like Tron has an accessible car in the back for people who have to cycle, so that people can experience it.
But that's
probably have more. But
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that.
I bet you could do Star Tours. I bet you could do a VR Star Tours.
Maybe. I don't know. Dude, I got to tell you, when we go on Minnie and Mickey's, that scene when you go over the waterfall,
right?
That's a little iffy for me. That's a little iffy for me.
But so I would. So my thing with that.
The ballet room must be a bitch.
Which one?
The dance studio with Daisy? How's that?
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. Because that's actual motion. I'm moving around. That's okay.
You're not in front of a screen, correct?
Yeah.
But I would tell you, similar to that, if you rode Flight of Passage, like I said, you could probably just close your eyes for a second and just get past that 1 minute, and then you'll be fine.
Moving. You're not moving.
Because you're not actually moving. The screen's messing you up. It's kind of like Ratatouille. You're not actually moving. The screen's just disorienting you. So you can close your eyes and you're fine. The problem with something like Guardians or Mission Space is you close your eyes and you're actually moving, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
Correct.
It was bad. It was bad.
That's a shame. Sorry to hear it.
I said, the first 5 seconds, I loved it.
Right. We're going to get you.
You know, I got to enjoy the queue and all that. And
that's
you
a little longer, too. That's a nice ride.
I heard September, and then I forgot what the rest of the words were, but it was fun.
Ed and I are going to get you day drunk at Epcot and do the
world. Oh, my God.
And put you on it without us.
And then who gets the shortest straw gets to sit with me.
No, behind you.
Yeah, people we don't know.
Or in front of you. To the turns.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.